You're listening to The TP Cast,
the official podcast of Thomas Productions, Inc.
Here we discuss all of our latest videos, as well as other topics such as movies, Halo news, machinima, and so much more. So fasten your seatbelts, cause it's time for The TP Cast. And now, here are your very gracious hosts, Lay, Kevin, and Kyle.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the TP Cast, the first one for 2012.
And by the rate we're going, probably the last one, too.
You said another, you didn't say the episode number. Which is it?
It is episode number 73 of the TP Cast.
Nice.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, welcome, one and all. I thought we were going to do another one before the year ended, but turns out no.
Lane, you have to introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Lane.
I'm Kevin with a good microphone.
I'm Kyle with a crappy microphone.
Should we talk about this little microphone dealy and all that that encompasses?
I think we shall, yeah. So,
Lane, why don't you go ahead and tell the story?
Yeah,
it is best.
It is a Christmas story.
A Christmas miracle, you could say.
I guess you could say that, yeah. So, a little thing happened called Christmas, and we got a brand new camera.
And it films in?
It's like 1080. I forget if it's I or P.
What does that mean?
Yeah, there's a difference. Yeah,
you know what it
one,
is.
One's higher than the other, but I forget.
Well,
right
it doesn't
now.
Matter. It's still 1080, right?
Wait, where's the box? I'll find out. Is this the box?
Yeah, that's the giant box, but there's stuff in it, so maybe you shouldn't.
Well, if it's on the box,
I think I've already checked, but I guess you could take a look at it. So
it comes with a microphone. I mean,
well, no,
I'm in a remote.
Yeah. So also got an external microphone. It's a shotgun microphone.
Explain what that means to people who don't know anything about film. Like
it's it's a microphone that attaches to the outside of the camera, and it's like a cylindrical microphone so that it focuses on picking up sound where it's pointing.
You guys should really see this thing. The new camera.
I posted a picture of it.
I know, but it was bad because it was all black, and it's right in front of your black TV, and you can't see it. You should really see this thing. It looks so professional. The new camera is like big, and it has this thing coming out of it, and then another thing on top, which the microphone connects to, and with the microphone on it and all the cords, man,
and
this thing is awesome looking.
And you do sound the best.
I know. We did rock, paper, scissors to see who would get the microphone. I won. And we actually didn't do rock, paper, scissors. We did the Skyrim version. We did Fus Roda.
Yeah, so
Lane and I have been playing Skyrim like nobody's business.
And Kyle has been watching like nobody's business.
Okay,
it's like
so
watching a movie that's 100 hours long.
I think I'm almost at 63 hours right now. I might be over.
Okay.
Lane doesn't know because he has it on pause and it still records. You're like over 100 hours right now. But,
probably.
But you haven't played over 100 hours.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. So yeah, Christmas, it was a good Christmas time. Got Skyrim for Christmas.
I got Skyrim for Christmas too.
You know, got some other stuff. Gosh, I got some. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, we got a brand new giant HD TV.
Not just HD.
It's a 3D HD TV.
And you can like go to YouTube in it. Lane showed us. You can go to YouTube and play, like, our YouTube videos in fake 3D.
If it's HD and 3D, that's like 2Ds. It's a 2D TV. It's crazy sauce.
Sure. So, we got that. Got a Blu-ray player. And, of course, you know, a bunch of Blu-rays to go with it.
When did you get the DVR?
That was recently. That was, like, 2 days ago. Yeah. But we've only had it set up for a day.
Did you figure that with the new TV, you had to have a DVR?
No, no. We actually, weren't going to have it. And then my dad just came home with one. So, but yeah, it's nice. I'd asked for it. Like,
I love when dads come home with awesome things.
Yeah. I asked for it. I think it was last year for my birthday, and we were like researching it and stuff like that. But yeah, we had to get a new modem. So when he went in to do that, he got one. Okay. So anyway, that's nice.
This says the camcorder is equipped with 1/3-inch CMOS sensor that captures video at an effective pixel count of approximately 2.07 megapixels, 1920 by 1080. So megapixels, I don't know if that's I or P.
Yeah, that's like not. Yeah, that's not. That's not.
That
it
doesn't have to do with. Well, let's move on.
Yeah. So, let's see. That should probably be later. Okay. Since our last podcast, a game came out called Halo
Skyrim. Oh,
yeah. Well, that and Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary.
Really? We haven't.
No, we have not done a podcast reviewing
that.
I
want to talk about Skyrim.
We're going to talk about both, but since we mainly focus, admittedly, on Halo as kind of like our main game on this podcast,
which you haven't played since last year,
we need to review it. So
okay, let's make this quick.
No, but that's coming later. That's not right now. Oh, but okay. Why I'm bringing it up right now is that they had Microsoft held a midnight launch event at some of their new Microsoft stores.
Let's not even explain the Apple thing. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, if you look up pictures online, and I posted a video on my personal channel too, it's like...
It could not be any closer to the Apple store.
Only with computers that crash. So.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, but anyway,
it is a pretty nice store though.
So there was a store. There was a store near us. So I went to the midnight launch event. While I don't like PCs or anything, the event was really cool. I got like a bunch of free stuff.
Swag.
Yeah. I got like at least two copies of Halo Evolutions, which I already have, so not sure what I'm gonna do with those. You guys don't read the Halo books. So.
Wait, hold on. Email us if you want one. How about that? Or yeah, call us in.
Or maybe.
Wait.
I don't know. We have to shipping
stuff
like that.
What are we talking about? Sending somebody what?
I got like two extra copies of Halo Evolutions.
Oh. You also
we'll sign it.
You also got a game, right? Another game for free.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was Fable 3.
Because? Why'd you get it?
Oh, yeah, I was, they had this this Halo tournament there. So I went in, and I got 5th place. So I'm pretty happy with that. I got some extra stuff from that. The grand prize winner got an Xbox. So, yeah. That would have been nice to have a new Xbox, but I didn't need it. So, but I was still really happy with how I did. And got some new figures from that. I got like three free figures. Wow. That's a tongue twister. So, yeah, the event was really cool. And that's about it. So, yeah. Again, I posted a video of that on my personal channel, so you can go check that out. Okay. Halo 4. I know we're all excited to see in-game footage of that.
Did you happen to see IGN named Halo 4 their number one game that they're looking forward to? Or at least number one Xbox 360 game for next year?
No, but I'm glad that they did.
I'm surprised they did that because nobody knows anything about it yet. You know, I think BioShock Infinite was number 2 and Mass Effect 3 was number 3.
I'm
really looking forward to Mass Effect
3. Yeah, I would have ranked Mass Effect 3 above BioShock Infinite.
Have you seen BioShock Infinite?
Well,
it looks really good.
BioShock Infinite game of the show at E3, I think.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm bringing up Halo 4 because while they haven't showed
much
new stuff, they haven't shown much new stuff since Halo Fest.
Yeah.
I heard somewhere, I'm forgetting where this was. I don't think it was on Halo Waypoint. It was probably on IGN, but they said that they're going to be showing some of the new Halo 4 figures and stuff at this, I forget what it's called officially, this like big toy expo.
When is that, February?
No, it's coming up. It's like January 20, I want to say 27th. So, I imagine they'd have to get approval if they're going to show something groundbreaking or anything like that. So,
well, we already know what Master Chief looks like. I guess we know what Cortana looks like. And
not really, because...
those could have been not final.
Yeah, the Cortana model...
Well, remember, they showed off the Halo 4 Master Chief, like the like life-size armor, at Halo Fest. And they said they gave actual, like... game models to the guys who did it. So that's like exactly what it's going to look like.
So I'm pretty sure that's not going to change. Cortana, what we saw in the trailer wasn't very close up. What I did see didn't seem very consistent to what we saw in Halo 3. So I wouldn't mind if they changed that. It seemed like she had like short hair, like from the original Halo.
You know the difference between Halo 1 and Halo 2. That was like different character.
Well, you know, with...
Yeah, of course, now. Now, of course.
Now with Halo Anniversary, they had to go and fix it.
In Halo Anniversary, they gave her long hair again.
Yeah.
Or not again, but or whatever you want to say.
So, yeah, I might want to keep an eye out for that to see if we get any new new juicy tidbits. Okay, and along the lines of Halo, a new Halo book was released, Halo Primordium, which is the second book in Greg Bear's Forerunner Saga.
And you haven't been reading it because you've been playing Skyrim.
No, I've been reading it, yeah.
You're on chapter 3 now?
No, I'm on chapter 5 now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a big difference. How many hours have you been playing Skyrim for?
Longer, definitely, than...
Do you feel like you've played more than I have?
No, I don't. I feel like you've played more.
What level are you on?
I feel like I've played more, too,
I think I'm level 37 right now.
I literally just leveled up to 37 today.
Wow. So did... I forget if it was... I think I leveled up last night. I was saving up a bunch. I only leveled up 3 times. I was kind of disappointed.
Oh, only 3 times.
Yeah.
The only time I've leveled up more than once is once, and it was twice.
Yeah.
If you understand what I just said.
Yeah, so I'm reading Halo Primordium.
Any good?
Yeah. I like right from the start, I think it's a lot more accessible, at least for me, since the main character in this book is a human. In the last book, it was a Forerunner. So since it's from a human perspective, you can understand it a little bit more. And I think plus, since you were kind of slammed with all this this brand new stuff in the first novel, you know, since you already know all of that, you can just kind of pick up and you don't have to try to wrap your head around it as much. So, yeah, so far I'm liking it better than the other book. So, yeah.
Kind of like Inheritance is better than Brisinger, not as good as Aragon, Eldest also very good, you know?
Mm-hmm. You can get a chance to tell us about some of that later on in the program. Okay, last thing before we move on to emails and voicemails and stuff is they released the trailers for The Dark Knight Rises and The Hobbit.
Dark Knight Rises, bad. Hobbit, OMG!
Yeah, Hobbit was definitely, I think, more anticipated.
I'm surprised with how much they were able to show and how much they had done. I really think that some of the animations were not finalized because they have so much longer to go.
Yeah,
until
like
until the movie comes out.
The Rivendell, the clip of Rivendell looked too like CGI covered.
The giant trolls. They didn't show.
I read the book like a few months ago, so I know what's going on.
Yeah, I totally don't remember the book at all. It was.
Did you read it?
It was in fifth grade. Our teacher. No. Yeah, it was fifth grade. Yeah.
You had to read it?
No. Like after lunchtime, our teacher would like read us some of it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Did he read you the whole thing? Yes, is it he? Because I remember.
Wasn't he your favorite teacher?
I think so.
I'm not going to say his name, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So,
is he bald?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Can he only teach there for 1 year or was it 2?
I think it was just one, but you need to get on your mic more. So anyway, I basically don't remember any of it, except that there was a dragon and some treasure involved.
Dragon's name is Smaug.
And
Smaug. I don't know. It's S-M-A-U-G. It's... Smog is like the thing with the car, so I don't want to say smog, but it's smog, right? It's not like smog.
So. Yeah, so...
I've always thought smog. Just kidding.
So, you know, I know dragon and some gold and...
treasure.
Dragon and some gold.
Bilbo gets the ring from Smeagol, so...
Yeah, that was actually that's what good I know. Scene. I can't wait to see the scene in the movie.
Yeah,
with
but...
With Andy Serkis. He's back, and he's so good.
Tasty. So
also, Dark Knight Rises, I'm not looking forward to that at all. I don't have anything to say except for a crappy trailer. I don't know about the movie, but it's probably going to be confusing, long, and boring.
You know,
so
if I counted correctly...
You're not interested in seeing it.
I'm not interested in the movie right now.
If I counted correctly and remember correctly, there were a total of 4 shots of Batman in the trailer, which is an indication that there will be maybe about... 10 shots of Batman in the movie?
I
wonder if he still has his voice. I'm Batman.
The one problem I had with the trailer is I thought the whole explosion football thing was lame.
Cool. That was the best part.
What? That was the worst part for me. That it just totally took me out of it because it's like I'm not used to seeing like sports in Batman. I mean, like, I haven't watched the other Batman movies,
also,
but it just totally seemed out of place.
You haven't seen any of the other Batman movies, is that what you just said?
No, because, you know, like, all the ones before, you know,
have you
Nolan's,
not seen...
Nolan's Batman.
Yeah, by the way, this is Batman, not the 2012 movie, which that seems like it would have been more appropriate for.
I don't know what you're
talking about. The movie 2012?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does seem like it would be in that more than Batman. So, yeah. I didn't
have
like
you not
that
seen
part.
Jim Carrey as the Riddler?
No. I've like.
Have you seen Steve Carell as? Sorry, I interrupted. But
yeah, was it?
Did you see that picture of him?
Yeah. That's awesome. That looks like a good movie.
I know it does. Did you read the article?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Jim. Yeah, he's Jim he's gonna be playing. Yeah, a magician. So. Yeah. Yeah.
But
so
the Hobbit.
Hobbit trailer that, better than Dark Knight Rises.
I actually want to see it in 3D. I have to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they're filming it, and they're like, they want it to be so 3D. They're doing the concept art in 3D. It's so awesome.
Uh-huh.
This is gonna be so good. And they're filming in like 5,000 something. Right.
A really high resolution.
I know.
Yeah.
They said it's like, you know. Obviously, you can't see what I'm about to do, but they showed, like, this is 1080. This is what
like,
we
think 1080 is pretty good. We said, like, this.
Yeah. But even though, you know, I'm sure the trailer that they posted online isn't, you know, as high quality as they're filming it, it still looks, like, super, super good. Like, you can see all,
like
the...
don't watch
the
that
little...
on dial-up.
I think one of my favorite shots was... when the dwarves start singing, and then I think it's either,
they all stand up.
It's either Dwalin or Balin. I get them mixed up. But the old guy stands up in his chair with like the light shining on him. I don't know. That just looks so cool.
Yeah,
to
during like that scene when they show like close ups of the stuff, you can totally tell this is like super high quality. Yeah. You can see like blemishes and stuff on their face.
I can't wait to see that movie. It's gonna be so good, and because it's Peter Jackson. And like Frodo, or what's his face, Elijah Wood, and Ian McKellen, and the dude who Christopher Lee,
you almost
Andy
said
Serkis. I said the dude who played Doo-Doo. Anyway, you know, God, I'm so excited.
Yeah,
it's less than a year away.
I really liked how they led in with the trailer, and I think how they're gonna, you know, lead into the movie where it's like, in between when Frodo gets back from destroying the ring and before he leaves on the boat.
I think one of the most exciting scenes is going to be when all the dwarves first show up. Because that's like an epic scene in the book when they all start showing up. It's like Bilbo's horrible day.
All right.
Yeah, you should read the book.
Yeah.
Or unless you don't want spoilers.
Maybe I'll stay spoiler free since I didn't read the books before I saw the other three movies.
You should at least read the first half of the book is really good, which means the first movie is going to be great.
The new Napoleon Dynamite show starts tonight, and I'm really excited because Napoleon Dynamite is my favorite movie.
I think I forgot to put in
the... I didn't know that it was like your all-time favorite.
No, it is. It has been for...
When did... Cool. Did we show that to you? Did we get you into that, or did you do that by yourself?
No. No, I think my cousins mentioned it, and then I'm like, ooh. And then... I forget if I saw it with them or something. I saw it on DVD after it was out of the theaters.
I know, I don't think I saw it in theaters. I forgot to put in the crystals is like one of my top favorite lines in that movie because it's just so random. Like, like, are you ready? Hold on. I forgot to put in the crystals.
It was on TV last night. I was watching it.
Jeez.
I knew pretty much every line in that movie, even though I hadn't seen it since February.
Would you say that it's aged well?
Yeah, it's going to be 10 years old in 2 years, and it doesn't even seem like it.
I was telling Kyle earlier, they have to do like a 10th anniversary edition.
Yeah, or something where they, one of those things where they get the cast back together and they talk about it.
They all look so different, but you can tell the same people.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, okay, so emails... and voicemails, we got one voicemail.
And
now I forget, Kyle, did you in the last episode, did you prompt people to send in their best Flood
impression? I did.
Okay, because we got one of those. Ooh, if it wasn't you that called
it.
In.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. Wait, here we go. Well, thank you for that.
That was pretty good.
That
you
was
know
actually
what?
Good.
I was thinking that might have been someone just holding up the phone to the TV as they were playing a Flood, but I didn't hear any...
I think even through...
No, that was legit.
It was probably, good.
Even through the crappy phone quality, you can still tell that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I wonder if that person was sucking in or...
It sounded more out. Like. Okay. Yeah.
You got some R2 in there.
Yeah. I should have done the high pitch thing. So, anyway, thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you very much for being our first caller.
You get a prize.
7 years.
Here's your prize. Good job. From Kevin. That was me.
Yeah. So, do you have a prompt, Kyle, on what people should. Should send in their impressions on Halo Anniversary mode?
I got a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Niners game versus the Saints?
You know what? I have a better question.
We watched that last night.
I have a better question. What's your favorite line from Napoleon Dynamite?
And who's your favorite football team?
All right. Sure. By the way, Kyle, that's making noise. You doing that? So, just don't.
Well, then I'll never stop.
Can you hear this?
No, I can't.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, thanks for that. Email in. Favorite Napoleon Dynamite line, or I should say, and favorite football team, if you have one.
It can be college, too. I don't care.
Okay, so do that. Okay, so now, moving on. TP. God, I popped there. So, TP stuff.
You want me to say it? TP stuff.
Ah.
It's good quality.
Yeah. Okay, so just wrapping up some 2011 stuff. We had 31 videos in 2011.
What's our average? Like
usually it's a little bit more than that. Last year, I think, was the most. It was 40-something. But we
if you take out December, it would have been like half that, right?
For this year, yeah. And for last year, if you'd taken out all the flushies, I would have been about the same. Yeah. So, yeah, flushies were the only reason I think we had so many last year. Okay. So, yeah.
By the way, is this good right here?
Yeah, that's good. So, we also came out with some festive videos. 24 Chocolate Days Until Christmas. That was birthed by Kyle.
I'm not a woman.
I didn't say you were.
But it was my idea, if you want to put it in...
Songwriting by Kyle.
Yeah, he came up with the initial idea, which is just a joke at first.
He did everything but film and edit it.
I saw Lane's advent calendar, and I just said, 24 chocolate days till Christmas. And then Lane was like, he took out his iPhone. He's like, let me record that. So... I just recorded it into his microphone.
Maybe so we would remember it.
Yeah, and then Lane wanted to...
I said, that'd be funny for a movie.
So I, what I did was I have this awesome program called Tux Guitar.
Free.
Yeah, free
for
download.
PC and Mac.
Do you have it, Lane?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and I...
do you use it?
I wrote this song on it using just drums, piano, and guitar. And then I wrote some lyrics, and then I sent it to Lane, and he added, what did you add, bass and some other sounds.
Yeah, so when with Tux Guitar, you like put in notes, and then, you know, kind of like GarageBand where you assign different instruments, only the instruments are obviously generated by the computer. They don't sound realistic.
Yeah.
So what I did is I took what Kyle had done, you know, making all the notes and stuff, and I just imported it into the nice music software that I use called Logic, and
by nice you mean Apple.
Yeah, and put in more realistic sounding instruments in for, you know, other music. So like Kyle put in a guitar, I'd put in, you know, a guitar but one that sounded better and more legit. And then, like I said, I added a bass to it and like a synth and strings to round it out.
They care about musical stuff.
Yeah, and then Kyle had written some lyrics, and so then he came over and he recorded those. And then you get the finished product. And then we recorded the video for it. And I thought it turned out pretty well. It's pretty
funny.
But
wasn't the only festive movie we did.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Because Sean Connery came to town. Forget about Santa Claus. He already came to town. Sean Connery, he came. He came to town.
This town.
And it's hard
Teepee Town.
It's hard to believe that we haven't had a podcast since Sean Connery first showed his face on one of our videos. We've heard his voice, obviously, for, you know, that was horrible. For Sean Connery's gaming corner. This is the first time that we've seen his face. So,
he looks a lot like Sean Connery.
Yeah.
He must be really Sean Connery.
Yeah, so he did an interview with an affiliate of ours.
Scott Budd.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did that.
And that was actually filmed.
Yeah, if you look in the calendar that's in the background, it's October.
We filmed that on Halloween, October 31st. And when did it come out? Like December?
December. I wanted to hold it off until the timing was right. And so then he came back and did another video. Sean Connery's favorite things. He sings a cover of the popular song "My Favorite Things," of course, made popular with "The Sound of Music."
Well, it's not really a cover if he makes the lyrics his own.
It's the same tune, though.
Yeah.
So yeah, that came out, and I think that turned out, you know, pretty darn funny. And we didn't. he had hinted about this in the interview, but he had what was it? He had like a friend or something that he was going to do something with, and I think we found out in this video that that's Morgan Freeman.
You just have been saying it right now.
Yeah, I'm saying it. Yeah. Sean Connery and Morgan Freeman, he said in the video, they're BFFs. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so I guess we'll have to wait and see how that develops.
But we didn't stop there. There was also another Christmas movie. One that was...
Birthed by Kevin.
Yeah, it was my creation. It was just some stupid thing we did that got, you know, great reviews from the fans. we'll just leave it at that, you know. It's called Hey a Tree, so go watch it if you haven't.
All right.
That's why people love it, right? Yeah. Okay.
So, first video of 2012 came out. Hugh Jackman.
That is such a great video. I love
like
it so much.
Sounded like you just said Jackman, Lane.
I said Jag with a G.
Yeah, so there's this comedian named Hugh Jackman. Not Jackman, it's Jagman. He's not real. He's played by me, Kyle, the brilliant one of the three of us.
Kyle with Kevin's hairstyle.
Yeah. Well, not really. You don't have
old Kevin's hairstyle.
Really have a puff like I do in Hugh Jackman. Yes. We had to film it then because I decided to get my haircut so the next day.
Yeah, so Kyle came up with the character and, you know, kind of the idea. He said, you know, hey, I'm the stand-up guy doing a stand-up. It's a commercial for, like, his DVD.
Yeah. We had so much fun making that. At least I did. I want to, like, do another one.
Yeah, and then your character Bosco, who kind of went crazy in the video.
My idea was that Bosco just forgot the whole thing as soon as he walked on stage. Everything that he came up with left his head, and he's trying to remember.
And then there's so it was it's like this DVD that you can order of Hugh Jackman's stand-up comedy, and the it comes with like his warm-up acts, which are Bosco, and then Lane plays a character.
Paul Deegs.
He's this British, guy.
That's an inside joke. We don't need to get into what he said, but
yeah. So
actually, you know, it's a line from our latest Marlin episode.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Let's tell a story. It's funny.
Okay, so, I think I'm getting hazy on it, but
it was Kyle's line.
Yeah, it was Kyle's line. He recorded.
Oh, yes. By the way, it was. In the episode Get a Clue, where this band is playing their metal song, and by the way, that song is also made by me and Kevin on text guitar.
Yes, did the same thing. They came up with it, and then I polished it and sweetened
Lane,
it
from
up.
Now on, when we do music, we have to record through this microphone.
Well, what do you mean? Like
singing?
Singing, or yeah. What? Yeah, singing.
Or maybe even Marlin, too.
Maybe.
Would that be too difficult?
The only problem with that is that you have to lug out this box.
But it'd sound pretty nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe we can test an episode, see if it's worth it.
Yeah, so... so, yeah, Kyle was recording a line. He was a band member. Spoiler alert, it was after one of the band members got murdered, and...
Yeah, it was like, 1, 2, 3, and then Kyle's supposed to say, wait, that's not part of the song.
And then, I think... he didn't say it how we thought he should say it, and you're like, hey Lane, why don't you try it? And then I came up with like some sort of funny
it just reminded us of the
some
beat.
Funny yeah some funny voice
do it
where I go, okay, let me see if I can. Well, that's not part of the song.
That's not
a really low kind of like British Beatles-esque,
like, Wait, that's not part of the song.
And
whatever
then
I said.
Kyle left, and Lane and I were playing Firefight on the new Firefight map, and I said, Lane, you should just record that and put it over Kyle's line and see if he ever notices. He's like, what? Like, "If I'm Mistaken, Not Replaced," but that's not part of the song. And then when we were doing the comedian thing, like, I think the day we filmed it, I said, "Lane, we should do that. You can be another warm-up deck and just say, that's not part of the song." And then the whole joke behind it is that the audience, or like, Paul Deeks thinks it's hilarious and the audience doesn't get it at all because it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Because it's not a joke.
Yeah. So, yeah, Paul definitely kind of took that from the Beatles. And then just Deeks, I just made up.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So that's how he got his name, Paul Deeks. I think he definitely still has some potential stored up. So, might see him again.
I think all three of those characters have some potential.
Yeah. I didn't realize it until after I was watching it, but there's kind of like a thread in the video because Hugh Jackman says that, you know, he went to the doctor and the doctor said that he was going to die. And throughout the whole thing, he's coughing. So it's kind of like he's dying there.
I didn't think about that.
So.
Yeah, it's like that thing on Facebook, one of those like pages, like, "My lit teacher sees things that the author didn't see."
Yeah. So.
And now, because Lane's in college taking all these film classes, every time we come up with a movie and about to film it, Lane's like, "What's the character's motivation?" Admit it, Lane, that happens.
It happens definitely more than it used to.
It never happened.
Wait, I don't think I've ever heard you say that before.
He said it.
When?
When we're filming movies.
Like the one that we just did, where did you say, like, what's my motivation for, I'm not going to spoil it, but.
Yeah.
Doing what he did?
Yeah. I think that was more clear cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've definitely, you know, I guess kind of tend to question these more things. Let's face it, the bar for our videos has risen over the past few years.
And now we've got this new camera, new microphone, and they're just going to get better quality-wise.
Yes, you'll definitely see that with our next video, which I think will be coming out this next Friday.
By the way, the comedian movie, that was filmed with this new camera. Not the new microphone, but the camera.
Yeah.
We should have had the new microphone, because we could have, like, used it as the microphone. That would have been sweet.
Yeah, but the microphone was, you know, coming.
Yeah.
It was... Yeah.
On its way.
Yeah.
But from now on, maybe the next one.
Yeah. You should definitely see it in our next new video.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
No, you don't see the microphone, but you hear it.
Yeah.
If you're wondering which one it is, I'll give you a hint. Think street. And that's all I'm going to say.
Think hip hop. Don't actually.
It doesn't have anything.
It think street. It's... Like, McJuice was on the street the whole time. Sort of like this movie that we...
Kyle, did you just give away the location? I guess I did. That was, Bosco. Or Flan Bosco.
You're actually getting a little hot on the mic, Kevin. You might want to back up.
You're not used to it.
I have to, like, eat the mic.
It's usually...
I'm always, like, gesturing to get closer to the microphone.
Now look at it. It's, like, sticking at me now.
Yeah,
that's what she said.
It's just automatically closer. How are we gonna switch?
I saw that
next
coming
time?
A mile away. Yeah.
How are we gonna switch off this microphone next time? Do you think should go to Kyle and you, or should we just fuso da again?
Maybe, or maybe like
maybe this is maybe
the last me and Kyle will fuso da, and then
yeah, Kevin can't get it until the next three episodes.
Roda!
Okay, so that's our new stuff. Now let's move on to, we got a whole mess of things to review. Let me just give a quick overview. We have, of course, Halo Anniversary.
Be quick.
I don't know. I think we should do something a little bit more than just quick. But yeah, we got that. We got Skyrim.
That'll be long.
We got, I finished reading Halo Glasslands. So I can tell you about that a little bit. You can review the last Aragorn book.
Inheritance Cycle.
Yes. I saw Mission Impossible 4. So I can talk about that. You saw Sherlock Holmes. Except I want to stay spoiler free, so maybe Just brush on that. You said it was really good, though. And I saw Tintin. So.
Oh, my God. Okay, we should make this quick.
If we're going to do... Okay, here. Let's start out since...
We know Skyrim's going to be long.
Let's work our way up. Let's start with some of the quick stuff and then work our way up to the games. So let's start with movies.
Just do real quick, couple sentences, your thoughts.
I don't know. Should we get Sheepdog? Sheepdog? Is he grazing? Is he herding sheep? Is he doing his rightful job for once? Other than biting his crotch?
Yeah, he's busy.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Nope. Kyle's going to get him. Is he? Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, he's coming. He's in the house, I guess. Turns out.
Meanwhile, I started playing Crimson Chapter 3, so there you go. It's difficult.
He's talking about Crimson Steel Pirates.
Sheepdog time.
Okay, yeah. So Sheepdog, I know. You like to ask me a lot of questions. You want to ask me some questions about Mission Impossible 4 Ghost Protocol?
Yeah, why would they call it that?
Because basically what happens...
Oh my God.
Tom Cruise and his Mission Impossible team get framed for blowing up the Kremlin in Russia. And so Ghost Protocol is initiated, which basically says, hey... You guys are traitors. So the team has to operate on their own. They don't get any help.
Kind of like ghosts?
Yeah. So that's where Ghost Protocol comes from. So throughout the whole movie, they're trying to find out who is really responsible for it and take them down.
So spoiler free, how awesome was the Burj Khalifa scene?
It was pretty good. I expected, in general, the thing to kind of, you know, like in James Bond movies, when they go to a location, they like use the heck out of it, and you feel like you've gotten your fill. I felt like I didn't quite get my fill. Like when they were in
Dubai?
Yeah, Dubai. So when they were in the building, they were. Only in, it took place in like two of the hotel rooms and then this like server room really quickly that Tom Cruise had to get up and do something with. So I felt like the building wasn't fully utilized. Like, you know, if it was James Bond, there'd be like some, they'd be going throughout the whole building and stuff. But I felt like more could have been done with it, even though the shots of, you know, Tom Cruise climbing up the building were really cool. I was actually a little more impressed with the finale. So after in Dubai, after it's kind of spoiler-ish, after he climbs the building, they, you know, have the guy and they Tom Cruise chases after him and there's a whole huge sandstorm and that sequence was cool. But then they go to India. And
read the set. Yeah. People are getting bored.
And the finale is, I'm sure you've probably seen pictures of it. These like really cool, car parking lots where like you go drive your car in and it's kind of like this giant building. And then a machine like lifts your car up and takes it and puts it in. Picture it like kind of like a vending machine, a giant vending machine for cars.
Where is this?
Apparently, it at least in the movie, it's in India. I'm not sure if it's really located there.
Isn't it real though?
It's real. Okay. So yeah, Tom Cruise and the bad guy who had this briefcase, he had launched a nuclear device, which was headed straight for San Francisco.
No.
For once, an area in California is like in danger. Usually, it's always Washington D.C., New York. I'm glad the West Coast gets some doom and gloom. But so
as long as it's not real life. Hey, Planet of the Apes, wasn't that?
Yeah, that was San Francisco too. So yeah, California.
I didn't see that, but I remember from the trailer.
Getting some love now. So
One more thing. James Bond, wasn't there a scene on top of the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah, View to Kill. I know it's called A View to a Kill, but why did they put that in there? It's kill. Yeah, it's just sounds more proper.
I've always thought of it as View to a Kill because that's what it's called.
Yeah, that is what it's called, but it sounds better to say A View to Kill.
I don't
anyway,
think so.
That was a tangent.
Lane's favorite thing.
Yeah, so anyway, Tom Cruise is trying to get this briefcase back because the briefcase, you know, has like codes in it that can stop the nuclear device. So all these cars are being raised up and lowered in this building, and they're jumping on top of them and stuff and battling. And then, you know, of course, Tom Cruise, you know, stops the nuke from going off, and everyone's happy. But what I took away from the movie is, first of all, the action scenes, I felt all of them, while they had, I don't know, kind of, you know, you could tell where maybe they came from in some other movies. Like, you know, you have your chase scene, you know, kind of like suspenseful moments and stuff like that. They were all very unique. Like the chase, you know, through the sandstorm, that was unique, I felt. And then, so I like that. One of the things I don't like about the movie is the very blatant product placement. I like Apple as much as the not Kyle guy. But
the next guy, which is me.
Yeah, I like Apple products a lot. However, there were so many. It was so blatant that I can't describe it. There were just iPhones and iPads everywhere, using Mac and, you know, Macs and stuff. And this one gadget that they use to like kind of shield themselves, to make a guard think that no one's there, they like use an iPad for it, and they like all display it all properly, like make it like the total focus of the shot. It's super obvious. And yeah, so I'm glad that, you know, Apple, you know, is getting out there and funding movies. But yeah, it's kind of obvious. It really took me out of the movie. I'm like, again? Jeez.
Okay, so what score would you give it out of 10? Because I like to hear things out of 10.
Yeah. I say 8. 8 out of 10. Yeah, that's what I give it.
That took too long.
Yeah. Okay, more quickly.
Let's show you how you do a quick movie.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes. Okay. Spoiler-free, because I want to stay spoiler-free.
Okay, so here's what it is. Okay, go ahead.
You know how in the trailer they say, so good, you'll have to see it twice. Yeah. I feel like I almost want to see it twice. Not quite, but yeah, it was pretty good. There was one scene, which you have to see the movie for. I already told you, it was like the running through the forest scene. That cinematography and camera work and everything about that scene is just so amazing. If the movie was shorter, maybe I wouldn't mind seeing it again, because it's pretty long. At least I felt like
you definitely interested me, because I saw the first one, but I saw like the trailer for this one. I'm like, okay, it kind of seems the same. I'm not sure about it.
Okay, and then the last scene also, it only makes sense if you saw the whole movie, but the last scene is also amazing.
Yeah, my review is sort of like best ending of a movie since.
Yeah, since when?
I'm trying to think of a movie with a good ending. Oh, The Notebook. Am I right, girls? Just kidding.
I wouldn't know.
I haven't seen that movie, so I don't know.
I've only seen that that cheesy movie thing that was funny at first, but yeah, that was funny at first, but now it's just okay. You know, do something new. Yeah. Okay.
Clean it up.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
Yeah. What do you give it?
I give it 8.5 out of 10.
Okay, 8.
Yeah, so that's your score? 8 out of 10?
Yes.
Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah,
so that's how you do it. That's quick.
Yeah, more quickly than I did it.
Okay, do Tintin that
quick. Yeah, Tintin. Okay, directed by Steven Spielberg.
Oh my god, taking too long.
Produced by Peter Jackson. Special effects by Weta. Starring Andy Serkis, Daniel Craig. Music by John Williams.
So it's just all around great people.
Yeah, you got great people working on it. And first off, if you've seen the trailers, you know what I'm talking about. It looks like really close to being like real, like live action. It's super, super detailed. And it looks awesome. What I didn't like about it is I felt like it was too lighthearted. Maybe I'm just my tastes are changing just because, you know, I'm not really a kid anymore. But
we know what's going on pretty soon, man.
Yeah, so I kind of wish it was a little more serious, maybe a little bit more peril. I felt like it was too, like, I wasn't ever worried really about the characters. And also, as good a job as Andy Serkis does, once his character of Captain Haddock is introduced, I feel like he kind of just takes over a little too much. And basically in the movie, he's like a drunk, and throughout the movie, he's trying to like, people are trying to like get him off of.
Okay, so what
drinking.
Do you give it?
I felt that you know, was hit you too much over the head with it. So having not you know, read any of the Tintin books or anything besides this movie, I'd give it 7.5 out of 10.
All right, moving on. What's next?
Okay, that was over a minute and a half, Lane. That's too long.
Okay. All right, Kevin, if you want to do something quick, review your Aragorn book.
Okay, so let's see. In March of last year, they announced the fourth book, which excited me so much. Although I was a little late, I heard about it in April. And so on April 13th, I decided to pick up Aragorn and read it again. And every single day, except for one day I forgot in August, I read all the way through every single book up to the end of Brisinger, which is the third one. And then Inheritance came out in November. It came out, okay. It's by far over 101 pages longer than the longest book already in the series. And I read it faster than I've read any Aragorn book before. So you guys are both on your phones. You don't care at all. But anyway.
No, I'm listening. Anyway, more than Kyle.
I read it from the 8th to the 30th. That's how fast I read 849 pages. Anyway, it's so good. They answered, or I should say, Christopher Paolini answered most of the questions. Every question he didn't answer, he either has talked about in post interviews, or it will be revealed in later books. But overall, it's so good. Perfect ending to the cycle. Not perfect, but really good. And
as well as you could hope for, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, a couple things I was disappointed about, the things that could have happened but didn't, without giving anything away. But overall, very nice ending to the Inheritance cycle. Still, I don't think you can beat the first book as far as how good it is. And Christopher Paolini agrees with me on that. Did you know that Aragorn was originally going to be named Kevin? And when I went to see him at the thing, he was like,
yeah, by the way, he went on a book tour, so,
yeah, and so
you,
I saw him.
You went to see it.
And he was like, by the way, if your name is Kevin, it's a great name. And I was like, he's talking to me right now. He doesn't know that, but he's literally talking to me.
You and the other five Kevins in the audience.
I know. It was like, oh, he's talking to me. Okay, so there you go.
Don't you feel so bad, Kyle?
Not really, because I didn't read them and I don't care anything about the characters or whatnot. So,
what was very exciting for me was meeting the Green Dragon on the cover.
Meeting him? Huh? What?
To meet.
In the book.
Yeah.
I thought he was at the no. book tour.
No, yeah, in the book. He's very cool. But he wasn't in it a lot. I wish he was in it more.
All right, so what do you
give it? Yeah, it's a guy. Okay, what do I give it? Let's go ahead and give it a 9. Very, very good.
9 out of 5.
Just kidding.
Yeah, okay.
9 out of 11. No, I'm kidding.
All right, so
I give it 3.5 out of 5.6.
All right, so next on the chopping block, I'll try and do this kind of quickly.
Less than a minute and a half?
I finished Halo Glasslands by Karen Travis. I thought it was a very, very good book. I'd say next to, you know, of course, Eric Nyland, which is, I think, the best Halo author, I think Karen Travis is a second. Because
you should read her Gears of War book, then, if you like her.
Yeah, and she also did a bunch of Star Wars books before she
have you read them?
Quit doing that. No, I haven't. But anyway, I was really excited in this book because it was going to, you know, start off kind of where Ghosts of Onyx left off. So it's going to talk about Dr. Halsey and this character called Mendez and a bunch of the Spartans. So I was really excited for that. But what I thought was the best part of the book is the new characters that she introduced. And I was kind of more interested in them.
Is she writing like a sequel to that? Or is that just a standalone?
No, I think it's intended to keep going. Yeah. So I'll be looking forward to the next book. What I don't think this book does have very much of is like action. Like with Eric Nyland, you know, you're going to get some action, you know. There's going to be battle scenes and all that stuff. There was a couple like firefights in this one, but there weren't any big battles or anything like that. So, you know, of course it takes place after Halo 3, mainly from the perspective of kind of this Oni agent. That's one of the new characters who was a Spartan to begin with, but kind of wasn't able to finish the process because when they did the whole implants and stuff, it, you know, the operation failed. So yeah, anyway, I like the new characters and stuff, and I suggest reading it if you're going to be playing Halo 4, because I think it's definitely gonna link in a bit. Same with Primordium. So yeah, since we're doing things out of 10 today, I'm just gonna keep going. 8 out of 10. That's what I give it. 8 out of 10. So next we got our two games here. Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary. Let's do that. Looking forward to it a lot. We finally got it. Kevin, what did you think?
I thought it's really nice to go back and play Halo 1 again with all these new graphics, but it's still the exact same game. That's what's so cool about it. And it turned out the graphics are really good, but what I have to say is that it looks exactly like what it is. It doesn't look like they made this new game. It looks like they put a graphics engine over the old one.
And you like that?
I'm not sure if I like it, but I think it's interesting the way that it looks when you play it.
Yeah. It's kind of like a handoff. It, you know,
but it feels just like Halo 1.
Yeah, it looks like they, you know, it looks gorgeous, but it looks like they, you know, overlaid it. But the good part
that's
of that is
it
plays exactly the same.
And that's good for them, too, because it means they don't have to make the whole game and make all that terrain. They just have to lay it over.
Yeah.
At least that's what I think.
So, yeah.
And what I got out of all the interviews.
Yeah, so it was fun. You know, typical, we did our legendary run through and stuff. It was really fun going through and getting skulls and terminals.
Thank God for that bandana skull.
Yeah, that skull came in so much handy. It gives you unlimited ammo and grenades. So,
although
that's definitely the best skull in the game.
I was slightly disappointed with some of the models. It looks like they just took Halo Reach models and laid it almost over everything, which I see why they did that, both for to make it easy for them and because it's like takes place right before Halo Reach, but or right after. But really, I think they could have made it look a little bit more like Halo 1.
I actually liked it because, like you said, it bridges the gap more and just makes things, you know.
However, the game is a lot
more uniform.
it looks a lot more awesome. When you go back, push the back button, and it changes back, you're like, oh my god, was this really what it looked like?
Yeah, it's like... Yeah,
you almost think they purposely made it look worse to make their game look better.
Yeah, it's like you start playing it, and you're like, all right, this is okay. Let me hit the back button and see what it looked like. Oh my god!
But there are sometimes, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but when you're playing it and you're like, okay, actually, what do I have on right now? I can't tell if this is classic or new. But then you go back to classic and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really liked it. If you definitely haven't played the first Halo, and surprisingly, I think there's a lot of people that haven't and just started playing with, Halo 3 and Reach, you definitely got to play this. It's a must. Now, Kyle, do you want to chime in? I know Sheepdog's gone. Oh, I have to say
this.
Belly up.
The model for Master Chief, they got that 100% right. He couldn't look any better. I think that is just awesome.
A lot better than he did in the trailer.
Yeah, a lot better. But really, I mean, I'm so happy with the way he turned out. He looks great.
From a campaign standpoint, the only thing I had a problem with are some of the facial animations during the cutscenes.
They just took the PC version and their mouths are just opening and closing. And it's not, 2011 how it should be. They could have fixed that. Well, maybe they couldn't have, I don't know, but they should have.
Yeah, so Kyle, you want to say anything about campaign?
It's nice to go back, like, how you know what's coming up and you know how to play all the levels. I found that actually nice rather than, playing through something and getting confused and getting lost, saying, I don't know where to go.
Except in the 343 Guilty Spark. I still got lost in that.
But the library, oh my god, those arrows, they save your life.
Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they save you time, I should say.
Yeah. So
nothing saves your life in the library.
Yeah. Now, we shouldn't overlook, it came with some new maps. New maps for Reach.
Mm-hmm. Not really new. They're old.
I consider them new. New to
and
Reach.
They play really well.
Yeah. So there's 6 brand new ones and a new firefight map. Which one of the multiplayer maps is your favorite?
I don't know. I really like Prisoner. I was so excited for Damnation and it turned out awesome.
I think maybe Damnation for me.
Battle Creek I don't really care for and I never really cared for. But it is Capture the Flag, so fun on the map. It always has been. Headlong turned out really fun. I kind of wish they didn't make it. I wished they didn't make it, but then I played on it and I see why everyone says make Headlong, because that is freaking fun.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's
Timberland is good too. I really like that map in Halo 1.
The cool thing about these maps, except for the Timberland remake, that felt kind of like a how Avalanche. Yeah.
A little bit less
was
than
to
Avalanche.
Sidewinder.
Yeah. But it was a lot more like Timberland than Avalanche was like Sidewinder.
Yeah. So I felt like
those two maps felt
I
totally
felt like
different.
That was kind of like its own map, but with all the other maps, it was really cool because right when you jumped in, it's just like
you
were playing
you
it in the older games, especially Headlong. Once you drop in there, you get major Halo 2 nostalgia.
Prisoner as well. It's like, right where this was and whatnot.
Yeah, so I'd say the maps, good for gameplay. They're awesome. For forging, not so much.
Yeah.
Certain Affinity really loves their... loves their, like, what is it? Their soft death barriers. They place them super low. So you can't really do much.
You can't do anything fun.
Yeah, and
like we had plans, and our plans were squished.
Yeah, like we wanted to make this this awesome floaty map above Timberland, but no, the ceiling height was too low.
And there are too many trees in the way, anyway.
Yeah, and also besides Timberland, all the other maps kind of came with sucky forge pieces, like. You didn't have the full
Forge World
palette to play with. So, yeah, certain affinity. I don't care if we get outside your maps. If you place, you know, kill barriers, at least make them so that we can delete them in Forge World so that we can make more cool maps. Or better yet, how about you make a brand new Forge World? That I know players want that a lot.
I don't think there's going to end up being any more Master Halo Reach, though.
I have a feeling there's not either. As much as I'd like there to be.
You know, Halo 4 be nice, is coming out.
Just a big, like, empty room. Like, a room that's as big as Forge World, but just not, you know, like, flat. It's all flat ground. And then you can, you know, add whatever background you
here's
want.
Something weird to
that
think
would
about.
Be awesome. Advanced.
Here's something weird to think about. Halo 4 comes out this year, and we still haven't seen anything. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's right about this time when we started seeing Halo Reach stuff on magazine covers, and also I think we saw their first FIDOC, which with it came their first in-game first person, you know, look.
Yeah, I'm excited to really see cool. what it's gonna look like.
I think that'll be next.
I hope it looks better than Halo Reach because like I was disappointed with Halo Reach. I have to say, graphic wise.
Mm-hmm. Now they have stated. Before that it is they're using the Halo Reach engine as a foundation for it. I'm not sure how much they're gonna keep from it and how much they're gonna redo. So
I hope they redo enough that it looks better. Cause,
I'm sure they will.
Yeah. Okay. So scores.
Yeah, so oh, really quickly, the firefight map. What do you think?
It's fun, but it's not like fantastic.
I'd say that it's a lot easier to drive the Warthog than it is in that same spot in campaign. Even though it's,
that's for sure.
It's
even though Lane still insists on falling off.
Well, there's a giant cliff there. Let's face it. If there's a cliff, at some point I'm gonna fly off it.
If there's a wraith, you're gonna run into it.
usually, that ends up
every single time. Okay.
That other firefight map is still better, though, for driving.
I think...
I forget what it's called.
Out... No. Yeah.
Yeah, the
Unearthed?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Unearthed is still the best
I
for driving.
I think I'm going to agree with what I think I remember IGN score being and give it a flat 8.
That sounds pretty good.
I would say 8. And a half, 8 to 8.5. Somewhere
it's just
there.
That you know they didn't make the game; they put their.
Yeah,
own
I'm
stuff
gonna
on
say
it,
8 so. As well.
For the whole package. I'm
for the price. It's perfect.
Yeah, I say 8.5 for the whole package, just because you know to expect what you're gonna what you know when you buy it, you know what to expect, and I got what I was expecting, and I don't think I got too much. More than I was expecting, but I didn't get any less. So I was pleased with it.
Yeah, I'd say that.
And by the way, the 3D functionality is cool. Now that we have a 3D TV, we tested it out, and it looks pretty sweet. Although I wouldn't want to play it like that for a very long time.
Maybe every couple levels.
Yeah, or something like that. So anyway, Halo Anniversary, that's what we think.
Did you give it a score?
Yeah, I said 8.5 okay. out of 10.
What did you say, Kyle? I said 8. Okay.
Now
the monster.
Skyrim.
Oh.
Elder Scrolls. Now, Kevin, I'm going to let you talk first since this is really your kind of domain.
Yeah, so this is Lane's first Bethesda RPG. I let him borrow Fallout for a little bit, but he wasn't into it.
No.
I'm hoping to get you into it again after playing Skyrim. I guarantee you, you'll at least like it more than you did the first time. I guarantee you that.
I probably will. Yeah.
And I want you to play Oblivion. It's not as good as Skyrim, but it's almost the same. Okay? If you need more. Okay, so here are my thoughts. I first picked up Fallout 3 in January. Almost to the day... 3 years ago, and I was freaking blown away. It was my first RPG, and just being able to go around and do whatever you want in this giant world was just so amazing to me, because all I'd played before was pretty much shooters, and I loved it. And so then I got Oblivion, because it was made by the same dudes, and I fell in love with that too, so I had to get Skyrim. Skyrim is so amazing. I cannot stop playing it. I'm coming up on passing Fallout 3, and I played the heck out of Fallout 3, and I bought and played the heck out of all 5 DLCs, and I'm about to pass it, and there are no DLCs out yet. And I can't believe that. If you had told me that I was going to be at, like, 60 hours by, like, January 13th, I don't know if I believe you. But, holy crap, this game is amazing, and it plays so perfectly. I love it.
So, I'm not sure, what's your favorite part about the game, if there's any part that you especially like?
I like the what I've always liked is leveling up my character and making him more powerful.
Yeah.
By the way, I always play as Argonians. I tried Morrowind, which is Elder Scrolls 3. It sucks. I know people love it, but those are the people that played it way back when, before there was anything better out. And I'm sure it was awesome back then, but after playing Oblivion and Fallout and games that have come such a long way, it's just not as good, and it's almost unplayable to me.
All right, so, yeah, how, since their last Elder Scrolls game, Oblivion, mm-hmm. what have they improved on? Because I,
yeah,
you know,
you wouldn't
don't know.
They definitely improved on how you level up. I played for 43 hours Oblivion. I got to, like, it was either level 6 or level 9. And the leveling up, especially how many levels there are, is completely different. But at the same time, you level up almost in the beginning. You level up many times every day. And it's way different. And you don't have to start out. In Oblivion, you start out and you have to automatically know exactly how you're going to play the game in order to level up your character. They make you pick these skills. Like, it's kind of confusing, and I'm not going to get into it right now. If you want to borrow it from me, I can explain it to you. But I'm not going to do that right now. So, okay. Yeah, that sucks. But Skyrim is so much easier. You don't have to pick any skills. It's just whatever you end up using most is what you level up most. So, because I like using one-handed weapons. I use those like crazy. I'm leveling up my one-handed, and those are getting more powerful. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just so great. And then every time I level up my skills, that levels up my character a little bit. And once you level up your skills enough, you level up. That's just so perfect. And what they did in Fallout is you get experience points for doing almost everything. They took that out. And it's now it's kind of like I like it either way, experience or the way they're doing it here.
Yeah, it's kind of like you know, Halo 3 to Halo Reach. In Halo 3, you had experience points, XP. In Halo Reach, you have ranks that you definitely more than Halo 3 ranked.
That's
up.
Right. That is, yeah.
And you got dough to spend on some stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, I just love this game. It's so awesome.
Yeah,
I love watching it.
Yeah, so for me, like I said, I haven't really played many role-playing games before. I'd say the most, I'd say like the one kind of role-play game that I was, you know, most heavily into is Mass Effect. But it's still not quite like to this scale.
RPG.
Yeah, it's not full. It's kind of like a hybrid. So. Yeah,
well, it's not an open world RPG.
Yeah, it's more linear. So, you know, for the past couple of years, I've gotten like a game for Christmas, usually Call of Duty.
Don't say that.
Well, it was true. You know, I got you know, Call of Duty, you know, Modern Warfare 2 and Black Ops.
But you made the good decision this time and decided instead of Modern Warfare 3. I'm gonna get Skyrim.
Yes, because I saw Skyrim, and you know, I wasn't into it at first, but then I saw, you know, all the praise and good reviews that it was getting, and I'm like, I think I better try this. So I got Skyrim instead of, you know, like another Call of Duty game, and I really liked it. Yeah, and I definitely still do, because I'm still playing the heck out of it.
Would you recommend it to somebody?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, if. Like, It's like, I know they have Lord of the Ring games, but it's like, you know, like if you like that whole atmosphere of Lord of the Rings, you'll really, really like this game.
It's almost the same as Aragon too. Like when I was rereading Aragon this time around, I was thinking this could totally be an RPG.
Yeah.
In fact, Christopher Paolini has said that he would like to have it be games. Did you see his tweet about Halo stuff?
Yeah, just super briefly. Yeah, I didn't read it too much. Anyway, I know what you like about the game is leveling up your character and getting more powerful. What I like about the game and what I was most interested in going into it is just the customization of the character.
Yeah.
Like, when you first start out, you can choose, you know, your different races, stuff like that. I chose the same as Kevin's, the Argonian, which are giant lizard people. Yeah, there's also others like, you know, there's like elves.
There are three elves, like four humans.
Khajiit, which are giant
cat people.
Cat people, yeah.
Lane's follower is a cat.
Yeah.
Khajiit.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so I really like that, and choosing, you know, what clothes and stuff to wear and what armor stuff. I kind of like that part the best. Now, usually...
Lane and I play totally different, too. It's weird. I love that.
The problem
you can play
I had
however
with...
you want.
When I first... I played Fallout 3 when it was 2000...
Probably 2010. Or that
no,
feels too...
No, I think it was 9.
Probably the end of 2009, because I stopped playing in August, I think. Or maybe, no, not August.
Yeah, so I played, I started playing that. I was kind of into it at first, but then I just, you had to, there wasn't any way to regenerate your health. Like, it didn't regenerate automatically. So I got into this, like, really tough encounter with, like, this guy, and I was, like, really low health, so I had to keep running back to this town and sleeping to regain health, and then going back to fight the guy, and I didn't have any good weapons and stuff. It was just a whole mess, and I stopped playing only about, you know, a couple hours into it.
A tip for you, Lane, if you ever do that again, just go out and play and just go in the world and then play the main quest. You can do it. You can play however you want.
Yeah.
That's what Bethesda does with their games, is they make sure that you can play whatever you want. You can completely skip the main quest if you want.
And surprisingly, that's kind of up to this point what I didn't like about games. I kind of liked the more linear fashion, kind of like Mass Effect or Halo, where, you know, they tell you what to do, you walk in a straight line and you do it. But and
that's what I think that's
I didn't like you know, Fallout 3 kind of for that reason. I wasn't quite sure what to do and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
but
I think partially it was because I wasn't you know, super into the atmosphere. Uh-huh. But with this one, I like the atmosphere a lot more.
I think that's what blew me away about Fallout so much, is just being able to go around and do absolutely whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, with Elder Scrolls, I feel it's definitely more accessible than Fallout for me. And
I think if you were to pick it up, you'd like it a lot more after playing Skyrim.
Yeah, you're probably right, but I still don't think as much. I think the atmosphere has a lot to do with it.
You mean how it's a post-apocalyptic?
Yeah, post-apocalyptic versus basically like a fantasy environment. So
I think you should give it another shot, but obviously we're not even close to being done with Skyrim.
Yeah, so like Kevin said, It says that I've like played 100 hours, but I've left it on pause for a long time. So I think that definitely...
You're probably around 60 hours.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's super, super open world. You don't think about it when you're playing it, really. But when you think about that someone, you know, had to, you know, go write each piece of dialogue and for each little town, you know, make a quest. It's just mind-boggling.
I know. But that's what's so cool about it, is how big it is.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm surprised Kyle didn't make a joke. He must be really out of it. Yeah, so...
What did you say?
Yeah, I'm not going to give you the opportunity. So, anyway, Kevin, we've both completed the main quest, so yeah. I think we can say this. What do you rank it?
Well, I'm not going to rank just the main quest. I'm going to rank the entire game.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I'm going to give it a 10. I feel
That's
like
pretty
it
good.
Deserves
yeah.
a 10.
I'm going to give it a 9. Definitely 9 something out of 10. I'm going to give it a 9. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 9.
I mean, there are obviously problems with it, but yeah. it's the game is, like, you don't even care about the problems. Like,
yeah. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
It's frozen on me twice, and I encountered one bug on the first day, but I just saved, like, right before it, and I went back, and that was it.
Yeah. I've had similar things.
No major problems.
By the way, yeah, we're playing on the Xbox 360, by the way. Yeah. So, PS3 guys, you're on your own. Yeah, like I said, I've only encountered, like, some minor bugs. I'd say the big issue with me is just the freezing, because, you know, that one time it froze on me, that was kind of forgivable, but today when I was playing, it froze on me twice, so I kind of got a little turned off by that.
Here's another thing, Kevin plays on easy. I do play on easy.
Yeah.
And I think I've been thinking about moving it up a little bit.
I think you should. It definitely changes how you fight dragons, because I kept getting bitten by them and mauled when I was attacking them from the front.
I have never been chomped upon. I think that maybe doesn't happen on
easy. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So I think it's time to step it up. I think you're powerful enough and you can take it.
And Lane, you also convinced me to have a follower. Because mm-hmm. in Fallout 3, I had a follower, and I liked him and everything, but it was a huge mistake. I'm always turning around, making sure he's still following me. He gets stuck in places. I completely lost him a couple times, had to find him, go back to everywhere I've been. It's just ridiculous. But, you know, it's nice to have someone there with you.
Yeah, and to kind of, when you're fighting a guy, yeah. help you out.
Especially
or if they're not
Lane.
Helping, at least distract them so yeah. that you can do the damage.
The way you play Lane, you definitely need someone helping you. For me, I don't really need someone helping me, but it's nice.
Yeah.
And I outfitted him in all the dragon armor now.
Yeah, I think that's what
it's kinda, also fun to pick their armor. For
yeah,
them.
Yeah. I think that's what you turned you on, because he was watching me play and I was just giving him stuff. Yeah. My companion stuff for him to carry, and he put it on if it was better than what he had. Yeah. So then we were putting all different things on him and stuff like that.
And you can have totally different followers. Like Lane's follower, Jizargo, he uses lots of shock spells. My character doesn't even use magic at all. And I guess he uses archery a lot.
He did, but not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Now he uses the katana sword. The blades
yeah.
sword.
My follower, his name is Durkethus. He's an Argonian. He doesn't use magic at all.
Kevin's very Argonian.
I know. I can tell a story about that. But he dual wields one-handed weapons, and I also gave him a bow, and he uses that a lot. Now let me tell you about Argonians. Before I got the game and I was looking, before I got Oblivion, I mean, when I was into Fallout and I was looking up stuff about it, I liked the way the Argonians looked. I think I should have paid... Well, no, I wouldn't. Never mind. So I picked an Argonian, and that's cool and whatever, and I liked it. And so I was like, okay, I like Argonians. I'm always going to be an Argonian in every Elder Scrolls game. So when I picked up Morrowind, I was an Argonian, and, you know, whatever. This game, I'm still an Argonian, because that's what I have to do now. But the bonuses that they get, you get bonuses at the start of the game, doesn't really fit my playing style. Like, I don't care that they can breathe underwater, because I don't go underwater that much, and they have like plus what 5 and 10 to like sneaking and lockpicking. I don't use that too much. I use lockpicking a lot more than I have in the past.
I use it a lot.
If I were to go back, I would probably be a red guard looking at the way they play, and I think Lane, you would have to be a high elf. I know you think they're ugly,
yeah,
but you can make them look.
They are ugly. There's
you
no
can make them
it.
Look however you want. The ugliest dudes are the Bosmers, the Wood Elves. Ugh, they're disgusting. I would never be one of them. Plus, all their bonuses are crap.
What does Lane need to play as?
A high elf. They get so much to magic, which is what you use.
Yeah, I use a lot of magic and one-handed weapons.
Conjuration a lot.
Yeah, conjuration and destruction spells.
I've started to use one-handed weapons a lot more than I've been using spells. And archery. I got into archery, which is nice. I probably shot one arrow in Oblivion. Maybe not even. Maybe more. I don't know. But now I like archery.
So overall, I'd say this is a good game. And even if you think that you're not into the role-playing...
You can play literally however
style.
You want.
Yeah, even if you're not into that, I think this is definitely the most accessible one of those games.
Yeah, if you think that you're not going to like it, just pick it up. You'll be able to play however you want, and the game's going to recognize that and let you play and level you up the way that you want to play. There's no problem with that.
So yeah, I definitely say it deserved the title Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Because...
It's my
Let's face it, Halo Anniversary wasn't going to win it, and it's better than Call of Duty. So,
yeah. And people, like game reviewers, are saying that too. They say Skyrim is the game of the year, not Modern Warfare 3. Mm-hmm. Even though Modern Warfare 3 may have sold more, that doesn't mean anything.
Not in the UK.
Yeah, Skyrim was the number one Christmas holiday game in UK.
Nice.
Nice.
I wish we could say that for here. It seems definitely more like a more intelligent game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just a giant appeal for Call of Duty is just that it's something that you can sit down and you shoot people. And yeah, sorry, I hit the microphone. Yeah. So
people are always
maybe that says something about our cultural.
People who play Call of Duty always say it's so realistic. Because, yeah, you can get shot 13 times and hide behind a barrel and get all your health back in 5 seconds. That's very realistic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is one of the things I loved. IGN did, like, a fake, like, Halo versus Call of Duty thing where, like, two guys were going at it. And one of the things is, like, the Halo guy said, like, oh, it's so realistic that you jump off a 2-foot building and you get pink goo splattered in your eyes.
Yeah, Call of Duty, even though, you know, you die quicker, obviously, than in Halo, but...
That's what I hate about it, is I die.
It doesn't take as much skill, and the playing
it's
level...
It's frustrating.
Because you get, you know, better weapons and stuff as you go, it gets more and more unfair for new players. So,
yeah,
it's an unfair playing field. So, yeah. Forget about Modern Warfare. Go get a Halo game or Skyrim.
Yeah. I really wish that you and I could like join games and just play, do a quest together.
That would be cool. That if like for I think Bethesda's next game, that would be the direction to
I
go
think
in.
They said like they tried out multiplayer. I don't know if it was like in game like the way you and I would play or like multiplayer like Halo or something.
No,
I think they said they tried it out and it just wasn't good. And the time that it would take to make that would take away from the time that they're putting into other aspects of the game.
Yeah.
But I think it would be really fun for you and me to do a quest together.
You can join someone else's game in Fable.
Yeah.
Like and someone else's world.
When Kyle got Bioshock 2, I was watching him play multiplayer. And that helped me realize that it would be possible to do multiplayer in like... Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
I don't know. That probably might confuse
but
people.
As but. Far as, you know, like what Fable, the graphics difference is like night and day. Fable is way more kind of like cartoony type.
This is realistic. I just love Skyrim so much.
Okay. I think we've gone on this about enough.
Yeah, you get it. Skyrim is amazing. And if you don't have it, you should. It runs on PC, too, so it's not like you don't have anything that can
one
play
One other
it.
Thing, I liked watching in Oblivion this thing called The Arena. Do you know what that is, Lane?
No.
Kevin, explain.
Okay. Yeah, I wish they put this in Skyrim, because it
too,
was one
I
of
like
my favorite
watching.
Things. Is there's this place in Cyrodiil, which is where Oblivion takes place, where it's called The Arena, and you go in and you sign up, or you can just watch. It's like gladiators, basically. You can bet on people, and you just go in, and it's like this little cage, and you walk out of your cage into this open pit where there are a ton of people watching, and another guy comes out, and you just fight and see who wins. And then, like, every once in a while, there's a new game, a new enemy for you to go in, and it's almost like a whole new quest line. And it was really fun.
If they ever wanted to do a competitive multiplayer aspect, that would be how.
Oh, you know what? It's kind of like
which character is better.
Yeah, it's kind of like Infinity Blade, but not really. If you played Oblivion, you know what I'm talking about.
All right, so I think let's wrap this up. Hopefully we'll do another one of these sooner than later. I'd say definitely within the next... gosh, I don't want to make any promises. Don't make a promise if you know you can't keep it. So
the actual quote is, don't make a gorilla promise.
Yeah, but I changed it so it would be relevant to me, unlike you.
Okay.
So
how about this? We'll say this.
Let's do one in March.
I'm going to say this.
Least.
There will probably be one after E3, and there might even be one in between now and then.
Yeah, I definitely say let's do at least two in between now and E3.
I don't know if we can make that promise.
I think we can, because we got to do, you know, I know it's just become 2012, but, you know, those TPMAs have a way of coming around before you know it. And that's an episode, and that's live. So I figured one episode before that to release details stuff.
Okay.
Possibly. Yeah, so there we go. And
oh, and if you're worried about Marlin, it's not done. We're just taking a little
people
break.
Not so much right now, but usually they're very confused and say, make more episodes. Why'd you stop?
We will, okay?
Yeah, it's a cycle, and we've been doing it since we started. So
we're part
way just take a break.
They will return in February.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing for the next episode, I believe.
I would like, before we release another episode, for all the ones that we put out in December to have at least 1,000 views. Only, like, actually zero of them in December have 1,000 views.
That'd be nice, but I don't think it should be something that we... No.
We're not going to put out another episode until they all get 1,000 views.
We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't hold the series for ransom.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, all you fans, you know.
Spread the word.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Tell your family. And one thing I've been meaning to say, I swear this is the last thing, and then we're going to be done. With the new Xbox dashboard update, they've added they've added a YouTube area. So now you can watch all of our Marlins and all our videos on the TV.
Will that give it views?
I think so.
Okay.
So you should do that, because it's really, really nice.
That'd be cool if you get like a party.
You can
together. See
like our Marlin videos. It's like you're in Halo Reach watching it. You know?
Yeah, so I would definitely recommend doing that. Tell your friends to watch it. You know?
Tell your friends to play Skyrim. I have a tip for you for Skyrim, by the way.
I have another thing to say. Sorry. our album is on Amazon now.
And it's dropped in price, too.
Yeah, too. New year, new price, $11.99.
Pick it up.
Are we still making dough off of it, though?
I haven't checked, to tell you the truth.
I think we have.
Yeah, so just search Trinity Peak on Amazon.
That's TRINITY / PEAK.
Okay, so yeah, listen to.
I'm glad you're doing that, because I would have said PEAC.
Listen to some samples. If you like what you hear, buy it. That would be really nice.
You could even just buy one song, or two songs, or three, or all of them.
But we don't get as much money. I hate to be greedy, but you know. Anyway, okay, so thanks for listening to this insightful podcast, and the longest one we've done in a long while.
How long right now?
We're at an hour and a half.
Well, that's Skyrim's fault.
So much Skyrim.
I feel, oh my god, the first day.
Next podcast is going to be probably like Mass Effect.
I think day one,
Kyle's going to be crazy about that.
Day one, I think I had 6 hours.
Yeah, you got really far on day one. I'm also like, what? You got how far? But then again, you just run through it. So anyway.
Yeah, Lane and I play totally differently.
Call in and email us. I'm serious about this. Email anything and we'll read it usually. Except if it's spam.
No, even if it's spam, we read it, right?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
If it's good enough.
Get your Rolex 30% off.
So send us stuff.
You know what's ridiculous? I got an email from myself about Rolexes being 7% off. I was like, I did not send that.
Something similar happened to me once. I'm like, yeah, I think I better change my password.
Yeah. Yahoo actually told me, hey, we've detected some spam. You might want to change your password.
It's weird how they do that. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway.
What if Yahoo spammed me?
So email us at podcast@thomasproductionsinc.com and send, just call in and tell us some stuff at 208-474-2690. Again, that's 208-474-2690. And somehow that number seems familiar to me. Where have I heard it before?
You want me to answer that?
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you watched the Hugh Jackman comedy video and you tried to order one of those, you might have accidentally left us a voicemail.
So a flood tried to order a Hugh Jackman DVD.
Hey, I have an idea.
Actually, it was before.
Why don't you call in and try and order one? We'll play that.
That gets a guaranteed play. So do that. Watch our videos on YouTube. Like us on Facebook.
Play Skyrim.
Yeah, and that's going to do it. I'm Lane.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But before I say I'm Kevin, by the way, I'm Kevin. If you get Skyrim because of this, tell us and thank us. You don't even have to thank us. I know you're going to love it. Okay.
Sure.
Kyle?
Okay.
I'm Kyle.
Okay. Bye.
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 No, wait. Really, bye.
Thanks for listening to the TP Cast. If you liked the show or hate it with your guts, please let us know by emailing us at podcast@thomasproductionsinc.com or leaving us a voicemail at 208-474-2690. If you would like to find out more about this podcast or about Thomas Productions, please visit our website at thomasproductionsinc.com. Please note that all non-original content featured in this podcast is the sole property of their respectful owners. On the other hand, all original content featured in this podcast is the property of Thomas Productions, Inc. It should also be noted that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of Thomas Productions, Inc., although they usually do. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the TP Cast.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Chocolate days till Christmas.
That was Kyle on my iPhone.